If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the one divine presence that dwells within the heart and everywhere as the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is, so what's next? So let's take a deep breath. And relax. And open yourself like a beautiful flower to the sunlight or the starlight, wherever you may happen to be on this beautiful planet. And ask that that which is your portion, your insight and revelation, your expanding of awareness, and the dropping aside and clearing up the obstacles that are no longer necessary, that could be orchestrated for you this evening or this morning. And as we really take in the wonderful energies of this time, it is so effervescent and alive, this moment. This very moment is filled with the presence of the all that is, within and without. As you breathe, you might like to, with your in-breath, say, I, and as you exhale, and I, and, or in Sanskrit, so, come, so, I am. Any time you feel yourself perhaps getting caught in the streams of emotion or thought, or you feel your energy starting to get scattered, pause a moment and take a deep breath and remind yourself, I am. So what do you, beloveds, know for absolute certain? You know, it's interesting, when I was contemplating that myself, I thought, you know, I don't know anything for absolute certain except I am. I am. And I think if you contemplate that, you might come up with a similar knowing. And another thought. What are you absolutely, positively in control of? Now think about it. What are you absolutely in control of? Interesting, isn't it? Really sets you back on your heels. Because you actually can't even say that you're in control of your breath or your heartbeat. Something else is breathing us, is beating our heart, has imbued us with life and consciousness, and the ability to sense and intuit and know. And speaking of knowing, what do you absolutely know about the future? I mean, from your own insight. Not, you know, what the Mayans have said or someone has channeled, but what do you know? You're right. Draws a blank, doesn't it? Do you know why? According to Jesus and A Course in Miracles, that when you think of the future, your mind goes completely blank because there is no thing there. And likewise, when you think of the past, your mind also goes blank. There is no thing there. That's why it has to be remembered, reassembled. One of the things you'll notice when you're with enlightened beings who choose to exercise that state of awareness and live from it is that they're present. They're not in the past, and they're not in the future. They simply are breathing. So how? I am. And that might be a good spiritual practice, because you'll notice that as the frequencies accelerate on the planet, that it gives a sensation of the acceleration of time. But that's simply an illusion, because time is purely born of thought and is connected with what is called the ego mind, or the thought-generated sense of identity predicated on separation, which, again, is an illusion. So we are like a unique cell. Let's use the analogy of snowflake. I like it better. We are a uniquely shaped, divine geometric imprint of divine thought from the heart and mind of God, within a unified field that's like a snow field. So that although we are all made in the image and likeness and of the substance of the divine essence, we're all uniquely an expression of that. And, believe it or not, everything is exactly as it needs to be right now, in this present moment. Why? Because it is that which is in this present moment. We live in such a perfectly divinely orchestrated universal symphony that not one single note is in dissonance, even though it may appear so through the distortion field of mind. Separated mind in time. And it's in the meeting with upheaval, challenge, and change that consciousness expands and has the capacity to embrace of more knowing. Without that generation of agitated energy, to call upheaval, challenge, and change, there would be no expansion. And we would be here for no purpose. That is why we come into the individualized personification of a human form. We associate ourselves with that aggregate of familiar energy and conditioned patterning, so that we can go through upheaval, challenge, and change in the testing, trying, expanding, and strengthening of the sense of soham, the I am-ness of your own unique being. Soham, I am. It's attachment, and only attachment, to wanting what was, or what you hope will be, that causes every form of suffering. Observe it for yourself, the clinging and the wishing that what was could be again, or the attempt to hold it and confine it and maintain it, which of course is impossible, because everything is in constant flux and change. Or hoping, projecting into the future, hoping things will be better or things will be different or something will happen to make things different and therefore seemingly better. But it is the state that generates the present in which you dwell, your state of consciousness. So your state, unless you shift it, will produce the same experience that you're in now when the now becomes the future. And if you're clinging to the past, you've already become aware that you've imported that same state to the present moment. So shifting state is the dharma, the duty, the imperative, if you want to be present. Now, so let me ask you another question from another angle. What is your truth? Based on your current state of enlightenment. Yes, your current state of enlightenment, because everyone has a state of enlightenment that they have attained. And that's a constant. You'll always be expanding in your degree and state of enlightenment, because enlightenment is not a goal. It's an open-ended process, ever unfolding with revelation, which can only be generated from the present. So move into your own truth, your own enlightenment, and have some tea with it. What is your awareness of what's next, of what is, of what's present? You know, move around in that enlightenment stage and see what you've got in there. How do you define your enlightenment? How do you recognize it? How do you know when you're operating from it? You know, all forms of enlightenment are preceded by vision, usually in some form of an epiphany or meditative state, or something makes you go, oh yes. And then it's like fleeting, and then you have to build in the ability to move in and inhabit that new state. So you're given the vision, and then you fall back into your familiar habit patterns until you build some sort of a scaffolding, some sort of an accommodation within yourself to host that new level of knowing, that new level of light. And that, you know, takes some attentiveness on your part. You have to move in and occupy that level. Usually people will have a peak epiphany experience, and then they want to return to it rather than generate from it the next level. You can't return to that which was any more than it's very helpful to return to a meal you've already eaten and digested. There's fresh bread for this moment. The fresh bread, the living word, the living light, the living sound. For this moment, that will usher you into a new dimension of your own blessedness, your own truth, your own enlightenment. So what's next? Today is December the 26th, 2012. So obviously, the world didn't end on December 21st. I never for a moment thought it would. But a lot of people did. Also, there were no 3 days of darkness. Several people said there were dates there were going to be 3 days of darkness. I didn't buy into that either. That was supposed to have happened as we, quote, quote, passed through the dark rift or the null zone. As if God was sleeping on the switch. He was going to let us all go through something that would make us all entirely insane. As if there was no divine order to the expansion into the next level of awareness. I think people believe these fearful things when they absolutely have no concept or awareness of the spiritual forces of benevolence that guard and guide and foster all the life waves, not only on this planet, but throughout innumerable universes. Where do you think souls go when they graduate and become enlightened beings of mastery? They serve humanity. They serve the evolving life waves on myriads of worlds. It's an ongoing self-bestowal of usefulness, multi-dimensionally positioned. And it loves all of its creation. That which is, out of which all things have come, into which all things eternally exist and return, full awareness, that loves all of its creation. It is love. It is love. It's creation. It is inhabiting as love. God is the love that sustains your breath, your heartbeat, your transitioning into new and ever-expanding states of light. God is light. God is that part within you that is light, that is enlightening, that is truth, that is ever-expanding awareness. And extraterrestrials didn't appear in vast armadas and evacuate the planet. Now what else, let's see. Oh yeah, Nasara. After decades of promises and endless delays and excuses, and so many people waiting, has yet to prove that it is anything more than the wishful thinking of a few hopefuls. Then there was the bird flu, the swine flu, the whatever flu, and that has not decimated the population. And so forth and on and on. I want you to notice how the collective ego mind continues to project dire prognostications along the future timeline. Why does it do that? Because it loves drama. And the scarier and the more outrageous, the better. So just recognize it for what it is and realize that that's what it does. And watch. Just watch the news. Excuse me. I thought it was really interesting. The media milked that Mayan doomsday scare scenario to the very max, to the very last possible second, before returning to their, on December 22nd, to their old standby, which is now the biblical apocalyptic scenario. Yeah, now that's running. They're still going to have some doomsday preppers, but now it's, you know, the end days and, you know, all of this stuff. All based on modern-day interpretations of one man's vision 2,000 years ago. Think about it. I bet John of Patmos is probably incarnated today somewhere in the world, absolutely wishing to heck he'd kept his mouth shut. Because look at the spin that has developed out of his apocalyptic visions, which probably he didn't have the slightest idea what they meant at the time, and did the best he could to put them to pen, and we're still returning to that scenario, not realizing that prophecy is ever unfolding. It's not stagnant. Spirit is not stagnant. It's not in the past. It's not even in the future. Revelation is now. It's always a now word. Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." It's always a now word. But so much energy and investiture of focus has been placed into that thought form of the apocalyptic scenario that whole nations are trying to make it happen so that the Christ will return, or the Iman Mati, or the Maitreya, or whatever. They're trying to mood make and ego generate chaos and destruction so that they can control, manipulate God, make God appear as if, you know, they had any kind of ability to do that, which of course they don't. So in this apocalyptic scenario, you have an angry God made in the image and likeness of humanity's collective anger and vengeance, wreaking his vengeance and wrath upon earth and her inhabitants. Such histrionics. What an ego dream. How can love and light generate anything unlike itself? It doesn't make sense. It can only be coming out of the interpretation of a mind that is seeing out of the valence of the ego. Oh, yes, and the endless nonsense about the financial cliff crises. It was so funny. I was watching something 20 years ago, and it sounded exactly like today's newsreel. They were in this financial meltdown crises. It was an exact replay. As we awaken and become more enlightened, let's be aware of this nonsense and how the ego mind is continually projecting one crisis, one scary thing, one fearful prognostication after another, and just end cycle on your fascination with putting energy into that. You know, they barely pause to take a breath before the next fearful spin makes it on the news. You know, you can laugh or you can be scared. It's your choice. And there, you know, there's also many people who pay no attention to any of this. They just go about their lives as usual, totally absorbed in their own world. So does it pay to be informed about this stuff or not? And I'd have to ask you, informed about what? You know, what in the world could any one of us possibly have done if the world had ended on December 21st? We certainly could not have prevented it. We couldn't have done anything about it to save ourselves or the planet. That's not our job. And moreover, we would have never even known it if it had happened, because we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on the air right now. So, could you have had any control whatsoever if that had occurred? Of course not. And what if the extraterrestrials had beamed you up? I can absolutely assure you that after the initial novelty and fascination had worn off, you'd be seriously homesick for Earth. You'd long to be in your familiar lifestyle and surroundings, at home with your friends and family, and you'd be missing your pets and even your plants. And as for Nisara, do you really think that suddenly having a whole lot of money is going to solve your problems and make you happy? I mean, really? Haven't you watched the reality series, How Winning the Lottery Ruined My Life? You know, if you can't manage what you have now, what in the world would you do if you had responsibility for manage a very large amount of money? You know, spirituality is 99.9% practical common sense, exercising practical common sense. So where was your mind and your thoughts during all of these projected dates? Did you buy into any of them? What were you doing? What were you thinking and expecting? You know, someone emailed me today, well, actually several, asking, what did I make of this shift? And that one was very easy for me to answer. I made absolutely nothing about it. I was too busy living here and now, enjoying my guests in the present moment. I'm not focused upon ascending or being beamed up or being anywhere other than where I am right now. In fact, my present is so full, abundant, and rich. It's so filled with love and opportunities to share that love with others fully and abundantly every day. But there is absolutely nowhere else I'd rather be than right here, right now. I'm not waiting for anything. Not any so-called ascension or windfall of money or the prince to come on the spaceship or the white charger or moving into a transhuman body of light or anything of the kind. Personally, I have absolutely no way to make that happen. Nor does anyone else I know of on Earth. So if it happens, something or someone greater than myself in this human level is going to have to make that happen. And I, for one, am not holding my breath. And as for being beamed up in a spaceship, been there, done that. And I'm here now by choice to be of service. and so are those of you listening to this seminar. So what are you waiting for, if you are? Are you putting your life on hold in the hope that some phenomenal event will suddenly occur and change your life for the better? Are you? Take a look. Are you postponing living now in the hope of something in the future that will make things better? Do you have any idea how living in a mocked-up future fantasy is robbing you of present bliss and fulfillment, of God's realization here and now? Do you realize that's the only thing that stands between you and occupying your full being? Sai Baba has often said that life is lost in dreaming. Being is lost in becoming. So are you busy dreaming of becoming so that you're neither living nor being right now? Why are so many people, even so-called light workers, stuck and hoping and dreaming but not occupying their attained level of enlightenment? It is because they're caught up in thinking about it rather than embodying it. Now, thinking doesn't do it. Being it does it. You know, it's impossible to experience reality without sacrificing attachment to thinking. It's that very attachment to thinking, all of the questions that people demand an answer for, the imperative to understand. Yeah, that's what's blocking moving in and occupying the state of enlightenment. You simply cannot experience soul transcendence through thinking. You know, the level at which thought is generated must be transcendent. That's what it means to soul transcend. It means to move in your spiritual inner awareness above that part that thinks and questions and debates and doubts and has to understand. Understanding isn't in the mind. It comes from the knowing of the heart, the wisdom of the heart. That's where you find your understanding. So the very demand to have it all explained and mapped out beforehand shows how afraid most people are to let go of control and simply to trustingly fall into the arms of the great mystery. That's because we're not sure if there is a great mystery, and if there is, we don't know if it has arms, and if it has arms, we don't know if it'll care enough about us to catch us, right? It's there. What's afraid? The little ego. What else is in jeopardy? The little ego, little mind, little ego mind. It knows that it's on borrowed time. It knows that it can only run the show for so long, and then it will dissolve into the light, back into the nothingness, from which it emerged as a little dark cloud there. So it's said that it takes great courage to see the face of God, because you have to have the courage to envision God everywhere, at all times, in everything and everyone, with no exception. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. So we must find it within this moment, today, now. And if you haven't, it's because you really don't want to look. You don't want to look because you really don't want it now. Why don't you want it now? Because you're looking at it from that part that's afraid that it will be destroyed if it knows the light. What part is that? The ego mind. The nightmare of separation. Well, this human ignorance is a game, my Baba says, that we are playing with ourselves and are unwilling to relinquish. But at any moment, we could relinquish it. At any moment, we could be aware that we are the Christ that we've been waiting and praying would appear. We are the Imanmati. We are the Maitreya. We are the Prema Sai Baba. We are the advent of the Lords of Light. We are the Promised One. We are the Beloved. And we don't quite want to own that, so we pretend and we mood make and we fantasize and we make up stories and set dates and create a mythology, because we actually prefer sleeping and dreaming that we're limited human beings rather than simply owning our divine wholeness. You know, there's just no drama when you're whole, ascended whole and free. There's no drama. There's nothing to feed the separated self. You're just in that deep state of peace. You don't need anything, want anything, desire anything, lack anything. You're just enjoying the show. You're just watching everything as if it were a, you know, passing scenery that you're just watching from the window as you full travel within the infinite realm of God's love. And another thing, we hide behind someone else. We hide behind gurus and pastors and priests and popes and prophets and channeled entities. We hide behind ascended masters. And we're busy following someone else's truth instead of living our own. And that is called religion. Religion is where you follow someone else's experience instead of having your own. Then you let someone else tell you what the truth is instead of discovering it for yourself. Or people channel someone else's message because they're afraid of simply sharing their own insights and what they've come to realize through their own soul's journey. But you see, we fear being wrong or failing or appearing foolish or whatever. And the truth is, as much as we may wish to avoid assuming full responsibility for our own life and awareness is this. We will only know the truth through our own direct experience. Our own direct experience is the only way for us to know God. It's the only way to enter the kingdom of higher awareness. You can't come in riding on another's coattails. Jesus made it as easy as possible, we can follow in his footsteps, and we can bring our vibration up to the energy matrix that matches his light codes. When he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was speaking of an energetic matrix of resonance and frequency and light encodements and attunement, which we can match as we follow him as an example. But ultimately, we have to walk the way. And Jesus said it was narrow, and only a few would find it. Most would prefer the wide highway. So be aware that awareness is not in time. Only thought is in time. Only thinking creates the barrier to your knowing. God realization comes to each individual directly, personally, and inwardly as an opening into greater light. It absolutely cannot be given by another person. You know, you can hang out with a very enlightened person, but you still have to have the wit to look and to move into those levels yourself. And likewise, you cannot know the truth for yourself by simply being a messenger for another person's message, or by serving as a telephone between dimensions or worlds for another entity. So channeling, again, is another form of dreaming and becoming. It's another delay to owning and occupying your own portion of enlightenment. Your present state of enlightenment is enough for you to share from. You don't have to hide behind someone else's name or someone else's image. And likewise, many would-be light workers impersonate others and mouth their truth, following and relating stories and prophecies of others, some from thousands of years ago. But what about today's insight and prophetic revelation? You know, many of us are on Facebook, and we post and we tweet and we share endless stories and experiences of others then and there, and we channel. But what about sharing from our present state of awareness? What about your voice, your message, here and now? Only you can give voice to your own message. Only you can share from your own direct insight and revelation. Why listen to ancient prophecies? Why pin all of your attention on what has been? Did God stop speaking 2,000 years ago? Where is your prophetic voice? God has never stopped speaking. And the prophetic insight is available to any who will simply attune themselves and listen. Do you realize that it is possible that some of you listening right now were the prophets of ancient times? Were the rishis and sages and mystics of yore? I know for a fact that you are. What do you have to say today from your own state of seership, vision, and present enlightenment? Are you clinging to the past and what was, rather than fully embracing present possibilities? You know, many times people will say, well, you know, people just don't know how to do that. And I'd have to say, yes, you do. All you have to do is live your present state now. Be yourself right now. That's all you have to do. Speak it as you understand it, as you see it, as you intuit, as you prophetically receive it right now. That's all it takes. Being yourself. To be present now, just present. Enjoying the passing parade of life events. Don't worry, what is yours will show up. Your shenanigans and manipulations aren't going to change anything. It's going to make you stressed out. You know that if it is a divinely God-given destiny, that you can't possibly mess it up. You can only mess up your own Mashugana thinking, your Mashugana plans. You can't mess up your real destiny. And that applies to everything and every level. What is yours is going to show up. Perfect timing. Not your timing. God's timing. That which is greater than that which is in the world. Control everything in your life. So just allow that which thinks to give way to that which knows. Relinquish trying to make things happen. Stress lets you know when you're doing that. Stress only comes from ego-based effort. Patient and do nothing. Do nothing at all until you sense a clear inner directive. It will come as a gentle impetus, a flow of inspired intention. It kind of moves you from within. It's real subtle. But you'll sense it if you can hang out in patience with that subtleness until you can catch the essence of it. Now you've developed the habit of allowing thinking to motivate your actions and choices of speech, so it's going to be learning to obey a different energy that comes up from within you. And know that thinking is not the same as moving from awareness. That's another subtle knowing that you will come to recognize. You connect with awareness by being certain you are clearly aligned before you speak or act. I always make a habit of closing my eyes and taking a deep breath. At least I did when I was learning that. Now I'm pretty much connected. And I'm so sensitive to that connection that I don't have to do the same things that I did when I was just getting used to it. But when I was first learning this, I would take a deep breath to bring in the fresh prana, the fresh energy of the higher consciousness and integrate it. And then I would speak or teach or whatever. But you will each come to sense and recognize the directness and clarity of your own spiritual connectivity, your own inner awareness. And you'll always notice there's an ease and flow. You'll notice, too, if you're very observant, that when you're walking in a past timeline of conditioned energy, that there's like a pull on your energy field. You don't feel like you have the wind at your back. You feel like there's a retardant pull, a retrogressive pull on your energy. Learn to discern that. Become an empath of the energy flows of the moment, what you're living and moving. And from what you're expressing. Likewise, when you project into the future, there's a slight energy of hesitancy because you're not fully engaged. The future can only be present moment generated. And then it's present moment, present moment, present moment, present moment. And that then is future. But it's generated out of present state, not future projection. Very subtle, subtle, subtle. We're talking about very subtle shifts of consciousness. But that's the only thing that's going to produce any form of shifting. You are the one that exercises the moving of your inner spiritual awareness, moving from the soul and transcending lower time-bound states, which are always connected in some form with thinking, and hence the perception of differentiation and separation and becomingness. Whenever you're in that cycle of trying to become something, or trying to change something, or trying to manipulate and control the outcome of something, you are in the ego mind. So how would you operate from awareness? Awareness is when, let's say for example, you need to go to India next week. Okay. Present awareness looks at, do you have your passport? Do you have your visa? Do you have your ticket? Make a list of the things you're going to need to pack. Get out your suitcase and put those things on your list in your suitcase. Pick up the phone and make arrangements for the shuttle or whatever it is that you're going to take to the airport. Write down on your calendar the time of the departure of your plane. That's it. And when the time comes, make sure that that flight is going to be leaving on schedule. Pick up your shuttle on the time that you have arranged. Get in it. Go to the airport. Make sure you allow for plenty of time. Have a cup of coffee or whatever. Get something to read on the plane. You see, everything is done in order, in the moment, in the cycle of timing, which allows you to have flow and ease. So you don't have to project into worry or concern. You just take the step that needs to be taken at that moment. And it's always a matter of now, 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 now. So you're not going to be lying in bed at midnight thinking about getting your passport or your visa or your ticket or what you're going to pack, because that's staying out of the present moment, you see? That's allowing the thought to interject an inappropriate preoccupation for your mind. When you go to bed, the only thing you have to do is sleep. So learn to discipline your mind. Don't allow it to go wool gathering, reminiscing and regretting the past, or trying to import what was into the present moment. Everything, whether it's a relationship or a cycle in your life, is for a time and a season. It will change. That's the nature of things down here. But the other nature of things is that everything returns in cycles. Everything returns in cycles. So you never really lose anything. It's just that one cycle makes way for the things that are of that cycle. And particularly with relationships. Everybody's looking for their twin flame, for their eternal love. I'll tell you, that's the one relationship you don't have to give another thought to. Why? because your twin flame and you are one. You come as the whole enchilada. One is on the objective plane, one is on the subjective plane. But you come as one soul, as one monad. You know, in the mitosis of a cell, you have the initial cell, and the first thing that happens to that initial cell, it subdivides into two, right? It becomes two. That's your twin flame. When you return, you transcend beyond soul into the monad, you're back in the oneness. Yeah, I know, it kind of takes out that element of drama and mood-making and romance and all that stuff. But those are all in the lower realm. The soul separates off into gender in the lower world. So the one you're longing to merge with is your own beloved, it's your own self. And you can't possibly lose your own self. So, let's be mystics, but let's be practical mystics, and let's take the opportunity that we have to self-actualize and to take that step that only we can take. How many more yugas do you have to reappear in these dimensional worlds before you're going to simply decide to be you? To speak and teach and live from your own truth, your own enlightenment. To be the way, the truth, and the life yourself. To be the light, to be the living word, to be the you. When are you going to be you? So if you're hungry, only you can pick up the angelic food and feed yourself. Nobody else spoon feeding is going to satisfy you. Nobody else's truth is going to fill your chalice. And nothing is going to come and presto change-o suddenly invade your prerogative to move into God realization at your own time, at your own will and volition. So the only thing that you really need to monitor is to take control of your energies, in the sense that you focus upon staying connected and in alignment with your higher awareness and with your knowing, and make that your habit. And you'll learn to recognize when you're in your head talking about something rather than being it and embodying your knowing. Embody your present knowing. That is your state of enlightenment. How do you know you're in it? You know that you know that you know, but you have no way to explain why you know. It just lines up congruently on every level of your being, and you know. And watch, you'll feel a drain and a drop in your energy when you start talking about it, and you get caught up in mentalizing. That really drags your energy. Notice it. Or when other people around you start doing that, you kind of get bored, your eyes roll up, and it's like, oh man, this person is really draining me. Because they're in their mind. It actually feels awful when you get used to responding from your awareness, your knowing, and your direct experience. So there's never any stress or strain when you stay present in the moment and respond from your authentic state. There's no trying to please or evade or avoid or placate or hide or mood make or create an impression. You're simply being true to yourself. And centered in your present state of awareness is like a blissful, blissful breeze. And anything less than that is a burden that you will be more than glad to let fall aside. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. On I Hear. On I Hear. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.